Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Welcome to the Share Talk interview, where I'm joined by Andrew Bell, who is Executive Chairman at Regency Mines. How are you today, Andrew?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, you've got a bit of news out yesterday. Could you enlighten us, please?
Yes, we came out with the news yesterday afternoon that we had already, under a joint venture, which we've had since last year, we had established a company called MET. That company was a joint venture with Legacy Hill Resources of London. They are coal specialists, among other things. And the purpose of MET was to identify and acquire metallurgical coal assets in the United States that could then be developed. And the announcement yesterday is that MET had succeeded in doing that.
Right, and you've got this is one of a spattering or of different minerals and resources that you're involved in. What's the thinking behind having such a sort of scattergun approach?
I don't think we have a scattergun approach. I think from its beginning, Regency had been involved in nickel, and so for more than 10 years we've had nickel assets, and our main nickel assets in Papua New Guinea. We still have now, from 2008 up to about now, nickel has been in a bear market. So it's had a bear market for a couple of years longer than any other metal, one that started earlier and persisted longer. And if we had only just tried to keep that asset, the company would have disappeared by now. We wouldn't have been able to retain it. So we always knew we needed to have some second leg. Originally, when we listed, we had thought that second leg might be Australian copper assets. But copper assets are quite difficult to come by, and at the right time, they weren't available. Within the last 4 years ago, we identified hydrocarbons as an area that we'd like to get into. And we went through the bottom of the coal market, the bottom of the oil market, looked at things, picked up assets, got involved in Horse Hill here in the UK a couple of times. So for 4 years, we've been talking about hydrocarbons. With it for 2 years, we've been talking about coal and imminent production of coal in the United States. And we've been talking about coal bed methane. So we have been fairly consistent in our strategy for some time. This particular transaction that Legacy Hill have been negotiating for MET, and Legacy Hill, remember, is a 53% shareholder in MET, has taken them a very long time to put together. And sometimes to get a good deal, you have to spend a long time on it. But we've been pretty consistent in our approach. There's been consistency with nickel for about 12 years now, and there's been consistency looking at hydrocarbons for over 4 years.
But I mean, you're obviously aware that, you know, the private investors, they've got the attention span of a goldfish, I think, probably, and they prefer a sort of 2-3 month turnaround in terms of their investments and what they're doing. Is that something that sort of gets in the way of what you're doing?
Yes, I think there is a difference. The investment time frame is quite short. The commodity investment time frame from discovery through development to production is much, much longer. It's not a really good match. And it's understanding that the kind of investors that you want and that will finance exploration are also the kind of investments that have investment time frames usually much too short. They're looking for speculation and short-term gains, but they're also looking for big gains. Sometimes those things come into conflict. But what we have realized is that you do need to have a bedrock of production, of cash flow, to underwrite your business and do your exploration off the back of that. And we were quite weak in the past through not having any production interest, because it means that at some point in the investment cycle, prices are going to be very low. And since you don't have revenues from production, you always have expenses, as you know. At some point, you're going to need to raise money when prices are low, and that's going to be bad for shareholders' equity interests. So I think we've now been able to develop, this is another company we're involved with, which is Red Rock, another one I'm a non-exec on, which is at Jupiter Mines, production interests to underwrite the business. Regency, because of its over-dependence, well, its natural dependence, because this is what it was set up to do on nickel, it's taken it longer to get to the point where we could identify and get involved with something that would be productive. But I think with metallurgical coal in the United States, we are absolutely in the right place at the right time. And with Legacy Hill, I can actually honestly say, I think we have the right partner.
I mean, obviously a diverse portfolio means that you are hedged against the ups and downs of the various resources. So in a way, that's a good thing. But don't you feel like in terms of scalability, a relatively small company, you're having to run just to stand still in terms of costs and PLC costs and ongoing development costs?
You have the mixture of a good point there and a bad point. The very good point you make is that when you're a small company, you have a problem of costs. I'd say that any AIM company with a market capitalization of less than 2 million has a big problem, because the basic lowest costs that I can imagine to maintain an AIM listing and fulfill the regulatory functions and so on would be, say, £400,000. And it would be pretty difficult to do that. Well, that's 20% on 2 million. And to get a 20% compound growth rate is pretty difficult for even the best investors on any long-term basis. Therefore, with a £2 million company, your gravitational force is too much usually to enable you to escape into space and do what you want. A lot of those companies come back to Earth. So you do have a problem. And if you're a small company and you want to have 100% of a business and develop it, your problem is that anything that is that small is likely, again, to have too high a proportion of costs in relation to the size of the revenues. So we have tried to get involved in potentially very large projects. But that means you have to have an off-taker or a partner or a structure that will enable you to have the large projects. Because the large projects are the ones that can be low-cost producers and that really make money. Now, Mambare is a nickel cobalt project in Papua New Guinea. It's a very large project, but it's at the exploration stage. The coal opportunity in the United States is a acorn from which it's got the structure, it's got the people, it's got the strategy. And we know exactly how this can be built into a large business. But it's going to be quite a substantial business from the beginning, and it is extremely scalable. So we think we are into a big business there. We have always thought that you spend just as much time looking at a small opportunity as you do looking at a big one. So it's better to have some big bets on the table. Now, with Mambare, because it was a very big nickel bet, if in 2011, say, or 2012, we wanted to take the next stage of exploration, it would have involved, for example, putting in a road up to the plateau, which would not have been a permanent road just for one season. It would have cost several million dollars just on its own before you even start drilling. So you start to get the big projects up to big numbers. So finding our way through to structure the company so that we can make progress, hold on to our large assets that aren't ready for development now, be ready to make the right partnerships with them when appropriate, and also have things going on now, is the balance that we have spent some years striving to achieve. And I think we now have it, because we have the metallurgical coal for the here and now. And you may have seen Donald Trump was in, I think, Illinois at the reopening of a US steel plant. I mean, that's incredible. When do steel plants get reopened in the West? Just a few days ago, and he gave a speech, and the president of US Steel said, yes, and we're sourcing our raw materials from the United States, taconite from here, metallurgical coal from the Appalachians, so on. Well, here we are in the Appalachians, and we're going to be producing metallurgical coal.
So you think that Mambari and maybe a mix of one or two other of your projects should get Regency up to escape velocity in terms of share price and the fundamentals as well?
Exactly the word I was looking for, escape velocity. I think we have escape velocity with Met. And I think that having escape velocity with Met will make it much easier to do the necessary transactions to take advantage of the recovery in the nickel and cobalt prices too. I think that the flowering, the unfolding of Met over the next year or two is going to be quite dramatic.
Okay, well, we look forward to that. Andrew Bell, Executive Chairman at Regency Mines, thank you very much for speaking with Share Talk today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.